Good morning again.
Good morning.
If you hadn't noticed before today, at least, there's a certain kind of crispness that's starting to come in the air. It's a little cooler, except for this morning, it's been a little less humid, and the daylight hours are growing shorter. Fall is here. And with it, the first day of school. Parents ran around making sure they had everything on the school supply list, the uniforms, the backpacks, the pencils, the notebooks. Jason was busy at work making sure everything was ready for today's first classes. Kids crammed all the fun they could into the last few days before school started. And for many, it was their first day of pre-kindergarten, or first grade, or high school. Some were going off to college in cars loaded with mini fridges, new sheets, and anxieties over whether they'd like their roommates. And then some were off to seminary, or some were off to their second year at Meadville Lombard, meaning they were off to their new intern congregation. All of us, from the 4-year-old going to pre-K to this 54-year-old wondering, will they like me? Will I like them? Will I fit in? Will we connect? It's really hard when you're the new kid at the school, the church, or at the job. You know what you're supposed to do? Well, okay, kinda. You've read the job description at least. Maybe you were hired to be a professor at Penn after years of being a professor at Drexel. You know the subject matter. You know how to teach. But while everyone at Drexel was a familiar face, you don't know anybody's name at Penn. You don't know where the coffee is. You don't know where they keep the paper for the printer. You don't know who to go to lunch with or exactly who to ask for help. And they all seem so busy. You're not sure, but you think the bathroom is down that hall. Yeah, you found it. But now, which way is it back to my office again? It's even harder when it's a new job that you've never done before. I remember my first week as a brand new lawyer. I had my new suit, and someone had given me a beautiful new briefcase as a gift. I sat in my office and looked out over Boston's Government Center and said, now what? I didn't know anybody. I didn't know my way around or the basics of the office operation. Sure, I knew the tax code. I knew where to stand in the courtroom, which were really good things because I was a tax litigator. But I didn't know much else. Soon enough, though, I learned my way around. I learned names. I made friends and developed collegial relationships. I found my tribe, a community to which I would belong for many, many years. Today, I find myself in the same boat, embarking on a new path in a new place. Searching for my tribe, trying to make connections and find my place here at the Unitarian Society of Germantown. Again, I wondered, will you like me? Will I fit in? Will we connect? So, where do we even start to build connections? How do we do it? For many of us, our primary method of connecting with others is social media. We friend and unfriend, follow and unfollow people with the click of a mouse or the swipe of a finger across our smartphone. We share and share and share every single detail of our lives, what we ate, what we wore today, or the cutest new thing the cat did. We put all our lives out there for everyone to see, never really knowing if anybody's reading it or if anybody cares. We're just hoping to get a retweet or a like or a heart or some other emoji in response.
We have hundreds of friends and followers, but are we really connected with anyone? To paraphrase Albert Schweitzer, we're all so much together, but are we all dying of loneliness? Now, don't get me wrong, I am not knocking social media. Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and all the other ones that I don't even know about, are really amazing tools. They're great ways to rally people around causes and to disseminate information quickly. At my school, we have a Facebook group for every class where we share questions and comments about assignments, our experiences, etc. There's even a group called All Students, Meadville Lombard. You're invited to join when you first enroll, and then you have to leave the group when you graduate. As a brand new student last year, not knowing anybody yet, I was excited to have this link to my fellow students and future colleagues, especially since we're a low residency program, which means we do most of our work online and are only physically together 4 times a year. I figured I'd make friends and get to know people so that by the time we arrived in Chicago, we'd be fast friends, cemented in community. Well, it didn't quite work that way. We were students at the same school and Facebook friends, but we hadn't really connected. It wasn't until I went to Chicago for the first time and actually met people face to face that real connections developed. We still use Facebook to facilitate our communication, but social media isn't the sole basis and sole means of our connection. Now, I knew some of you before I started my internship. There are a few people here who'd attended services at First Unitarian, where I've been a member since 2009. That shared experience is a connection. And there's a First U member here today. I'm glad to see her. I knew Zachary and Evan through school. We share a connection as seminarians. I got to spend time with several of you at General Assembly this year. That's a very special connection. And I met Kent before I started here through another service at First U. And now we're connected as teacher and student and as colleagues, member of the UU Ministers Association. Jason and I are roommates now. And all of us share a connection to Unitarian Universalism. So in a way, all of us in this room share a certain connection. Connection is natural. It's what we do. And real connection occurs when we're in a state of true relationship with someone or something. When we feel we belong to something and it belongs to us. The need for connections, the need to belong, is one of our basic human needs. It's the way we're wired. Our brains secrete the neurochemical oxytocin, which tells us that it feels good to be in community. It feels good to be connected with other people. And when we're truly and deeply connected, we take comfort in knowing that someone always has our back. When we're truly and deeply connected, we have hope, something to work for, something to believe in. When we're truly and deeply connected, we find a sense of identity. Connection boosts our self-esteem. Connection helps us make sense of our world. So all those new students, new employees, people here today for the first time visiting, or even for the second time, this new intern minister, and maybe some of you who've even been here for a long while, all of us are trying to find and keep our space in community. We're trying to build and maintain real and true connections in unfamiliar and sometimes even in familiar environments. This month's ministry theme is deepening connections. And one of the quotes for contemplation is from Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection. She writes, "I define connection as the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued, when they can give and receive without judgment, and when they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. That you experience that energy among your friends, family, and community is my wish for you. That we, you as a congregation, and I as your intern minister, share that energy is my wish for us all. And we can do it. We can create that energy if we remember five simple things." And I was thinking about this, thinking about myself, really, as I wrote these, but I realized they apply across the board. So here we go. First, be present. Stay grounded in the moment. I remind myself that I can't connect with anyone if I'm only half there. That means stop thinking about the next thing, the next moment, the next meeting, and remain present in this moment. Open to the opportunity to connect. Otherwise, it might pass me by. Second, be honest with yourself and others. I strive to say what I mean and mean what I say. And I'm pretty sure that over the next 2 years and maybe even the next 2 hours, I'm gonna make mistakes. And when that happens, tell me. If my message for all ages or my sermon stinks, tell me. But not today. And if you make a mistake, I'll tell you. And we'll fix it together. When we do well, let's be honest with each other about that too. Point out the good things we do. Third, be vulnerable. Open your mind, open your heart, and be willing to deal with that stuff that might come in or sneak out. By answering my ministerial call, I discovered that I'd opened myself up to all kinds of comments and opinions, solicited and unsolicited, supportive and otherwise, from friends, family, co-workers, church family, professors, and even strangers. Especially when I stand in the pulpit, I'm putting myself out there for all to see and all to judge. And we all do that every day. Every day we get up, we're putting ourselves out there. It's risky. We open up and sometimes we get our feelings hurt. Yet, if we remain closed off, we'll never make the connections we seek. Fourth, be generous. Give of yourself, your time and your talents. Do what you can. That's what I plan to do while I'm your intern minister. I'll help in whatever way I can to further the mission and goals of this congregation. And I hope you'll share your time and your talents to create a safe environment where I can experiment and grow and develop those skills that I need to serve our faith well. Lastly, trust. We really don't know each other well yet. Let's trust anyway. Trust that my intentions are good. Trust that I'm giving my best. Trust that I speak and act in love. Trust in each other as members of this congregation. And I'll trust in you as well. You know, we've all been new at one point or another in our lives. New school, new job, new neighborhood. We meet new people every day and make new friendships. We'll nurture and love those friendships into being and enjoy them for a long time to come. But Don't forget to cultivate and maintain the existing relationships. Remember that they need your love and attention too, if you want them to continue to grow and to thrive. One of my favorite authors is Sark. She writes of succulence, which she defines in part as ripe, juicy, whole, round, exuberant, wild, rich, wide, deep, firm, and rare. Let's fill our lives with succulent connections. I'm really happy and excited to be on this journey with you. And honestly, there's no other place I'd rather be for my internship than right here. We're going to do great things together over the next 2 years. We're going to develop relationships that are wide, rich, and deep, that are succulent. We're going to build connections that are grounded in presence, honesty, vulnerability, generosity, and trust. I'm ready for this. Are you? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, then may it be so. Let's get to work.